This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. This is the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day. I'm coming off vomit. Don't look at me like that. I got to open the news.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. I saw him barely at the media party. He was doing his Bobby things.
Hanging out with, he loves hanging out with all these other people we don't work with.
Yeah.
I was literally only hanging out with people we work with. It was Eric and Zach and me just drinking all night.
He had some bloggers that he was hanging out with. he was doing his normal Bobby things. He's got to he derives masculinity through over drinking. So he does it. I respect that big time. Okay. I think if you're going to overdo anything in this world, it needs to be alcohol. That's just my personal take on that.
Okay.
Bobby does that as good as anybody, but he pays the price the next day. And so do we.
What was the drink of choice? When did you puke?
It was 5 minutes after I got back to the room. I threw up because I laid down and I was like, oh, it's spinning. That's not good. And I didn't feel good. And it was just vodka.
All night. Straight?
So they won't pour shots, basically. Or they hadn't in the past. One of the bartenders at the beginning of the night said, I can't pour doubles, but what I can do is I can pour you a neat drink and then a mixed drink. And I can give you both those. So all night I was just like, all right, well, vodka soda and vodka neat. And so then they pour them both, hand them to me, and I drink them.
You sound like right now you could puke at any moment. It sounds like something's building up,
bubbling. I mean, it could just be that's my voice, but yeah, no, there was a lot of alcohol last night and a lot of headache.
All right, well, wake up, get a little pep in the step in the voice, not this little sleepy Garfield stuff.
They did pour them for me, neat, straight.
They did?
Yeah, you got to tip a little bit. And I won't mention the name of the alcohol company because Sarah doesn't sell it and they don't support us on the station. But it was neat. On the rocks. I shouldn't say neat. On the rocks. I don't do neat. I like to be able to, it's like you have change in your pocket.
Yes.
Right? I want people to know I'm coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the media party taking place here in New Orleans. This is show number 2 on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and Bobby Belt. So what was the setup? Who was around? How good was the party?
This was probably either tied for the best or the second best behind New York. New York was – that was the gold standard.
Because I feel like the parties – this and the Jerry party, it's kind of been going down in my mind over the years.
Big time resurgence. It came back with a vengeance last night. About 64 different jazz bands were
this
there.
This city does stink, literally, as Eric and Zach did a video, but they do know how to have fun.
This is the best Super Bowl setup, New Orleans. I don't think it's maybe Miami because of the weather, but everything is so close, so compact, and they know how to party. So, from that standpoint, A+. And, it's in the same place it was a couple years back when we had it, 2013. And it's like there's Mardi Gras floats everywhere in there. and bands, and the food is tremendous. When you walk in, the first thing you got is this alligator picante pasta.
Wow.
Pasta picante. It's just phenomenal. And then, bam, right next to it is seafood gumbo and shrimp creole and jambalaya.
Nice.
Oh, fantastic.
That was not the same alligator they were having people hold, was it? They had people holding alligators and boa constrictors.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see that.
You could, as you were walking out, you could, like, somebody had this setup where they were allowing you to, like, hold these animals. Let me see where
it was. Well, who were you hanging with then?
So I started hanging with Ruben, me and Rube. He's my running buddy.
Oh, my gosh. That is not good.
No.
That is crazy.
Hell no.
Boa constrictor and no.
Where Rube goes, I go. Where I go, he goes. Rube's my running buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Because you guys pregame in the casino.
Went to the casino first. Gave back almost everything. Not quite. Almost. Going to win it back today. But see, that the way I look at it is I just got 2 days of free entertainment.
Yeah, if you can break even, you win.
That's it.
Just don't tip and you'd be fine. You know, you could have had 60 extra dollars, RJ.
Yeah, or I could be not cheap. So, like, there's that, too.
You know what, though? Peyton, I'm going to start a crusade to stop tipping dealers. I'm going to. More on that later.
Yeah. I mean, they help you win.
No, they don't, though. That's the ridiculous part. Unless they're coaching you. When one of those dumbasses sit down next to you and they don't know when to hit and when to stay, that's different. But them pulling the magic juju out of the deck, it's horse ass.
Oh,
it's total crap.
Man.
Oh, shut up,
baby.
This isn't
freaking
Copperfield dealing me cards over here.
It's Copperfield, babe. But I felt bad. This is like her first day on the job. I was like, oh, I got to help you out here.
Okay.
So I was helping her out.
All right.
I was helping her out. Where was I?
You're Ruben, pre-gaming.
You're running buddies.
So I was with Ruben. Then I was with Tim Collins. Hey. And then I ran into the Tony Faye PR folk, the Choctaw folk, and a great Joe Trahan.
White or black?
White.
Okay.
Joe Trahan, white. He's on my phone like that. That's exactly
white
how
Trahan.
That's exactly how he is. And my phone. So I just hung out with a bunch of different people throughout the night. Then I ran into Roberto.
And right when you were leaving, we ran into.
Yeah.
Was he looking like a hot mess?
He wasn't. I don't think it had hit him yet. He was a mess. Not a hot mess at that point.
And you?
I was fine. I mean, I had quite a bit, but I had it over like 4 hours.
Anyone else on the staff?
Zach got messed up. Yeah, Eric was too. I did one of those, this is my first drink, this is my last drink videos with the guys. And Zach, I think you can see, is pretty, his eyes are red, and he's not doing well in that video. I only tipped $25 last night total for the evening.
Good.
No, I felt like a real piece of S every time I would go up to the bar, and I was just like, I've already tipped them before, so I can't tip them again, allegedly. And now I feel terrible just standing up here getting drinks, and I feel like they're looking at me and judging me every time I don't hand them money.
Yeah. Well, you got change. You had broken it up. You had gone in like that.
No, I actually had to go to Zach and go like, give me some fives. I'll have to pay you back later.
And Zach let you borrow money? I was not there at the media party. I had my college buddy in town, my little brother in the fraternity, RIP fraternity, no more. We won't get into all that. But we decided to go ahead, and he's like, you got to go to this dinner place. You got to. All-time experience, I promise. I said, what time's the dinner? He's like, 8:30. I said, no. Nope, not doing
That's
it.
Late.
He goes, I'm going to move it to 8:00. And I was like, fine, you're promising me this all-world experience. And beforehand, we were pre-gaming, and RJ Choppy texted me. And he said, did you see the red glowing light? And I said, no. He said, Rao's is here. Rao's, the spaghetti sauce that you see on the shelves that you probably have in your fridge.
We have two of them. It's for crust, a pizza.
You dip it?
Yeah, dip it in the crust.
I love that move. Candy crust by itself. Awful.
It's got to be great crust to do by yourself.
Got to be amazing crust. I said, what the hell is Rao's doing here? I knew they had one in Vegas. I got into the one that was my Lifetime Restaurant Achievement Award, getting into the one in New York. And I said, oh yeah, they do Super Bowl pop-ups. And it's right down the daggone street from our hotel.
You make a left out of the hotel. You walk towards the casino. It is Not even a half mile.
And I'm not supposed to be talking about this. He's like, don't post anything. Don't this, don't that. I said, no one listening is going to fly out here and go to Rayo's. So I'm just going to talk about
it. We are global. We're like the pit bull of radio.
Plus, I'm trying to name drop everything. That's right. I called the chef.
Well,
I texted the chef. I said, yo, man, I got to get in with my crew this week. I need a reservation. He calls me. He goes, why don't you come in right now?
Oh, man.
I said, oh, man, Choppy's going to be mad at this, but screw Choppy. I got to go. Here, he's inviting me right there. It's Roger Goodell's NFL party.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. My head was spinning like day one Radio Row 15 years ago, baby. Goodell, Schefter, Dan Patrick, who I was oogling and ogling the entire night. Hannah Storm, my famous Super Bowl, well, not famous, in my mind, my famous Super Bowl picture of
that's right.
trying to hug Hannah yes. Storm at the Houston bar. Jeff Darlington, Peter Schaefer, The Matrix, Sean Merriman, Lights
Sean
Out.
Sean Merriman, Lights Out.
Yeah, you're talking to Sean Merriman.
Lights Out, Sean Merriman. I mean, it was insane. It was incredible. Free drinks, red carpet, Roger Goodell, Archie Manning was in there. Oh, man.
How's he looking?
He's looking okay. He did have the cane.
Yeah, he was getting old. I mean, he's
I went up to him. I said, does Arch want to play for the Cowboys? Does Arch want to play for the Cowboys?
Was he there dictating who Arch is not going to play for
like
he's done throughout his
career? He was chilling. I worked up the nerve to get the picture with Dan Patrick. Bobby sent the funny message in the text saying, did he ask where RJ was? Since RJ stole.
I didn't steal.
My appearance.
He did steal.
That should have been. He did steal it. But he took what should have been my appearance on the Dan Patrick show. I wussed out on Goodell. I told myself, Goodell's by the door. When we're leaving, I'm going to get the picture. And I was such a wuss. I just walked out. I didn't know whether to go up to Schefter. He didn't, I didn't know if he was that approachable. But
pat him on the head.
I tried to save the dinner for us to actually go
all right.
eat. But I went in there for Roger Goodell's party. But apparently on one of the nights that we're supposed to go in, Dak table, ooh. Eli table, ooh. All this stuff
if
taking
there's
place.
There's an Eli table. There might be a Peyton table. Might be.
That was not my night. The restaurant, overrated. Not that great. Saw the Boston guys who are trending every other day for some reason on my social media. So that's why I did not make it to the media party. Who else from the station went? Did Hagelin and Dawson go?
Dawson walked in that I saw, grabbed like one thing of food, and then walked out.
No.
I think so.
No way.
We walked in with him, and then we saw him walking immediately towards the exit after grabbing food, and I don't know how long he was there.
I saw Bassick there. He was all over the place.
Like every day.
Bouncing around.
Like his announcement yesterday, all over the place?
All over the place. Bouncing around from, station to station. Let's see.
Oh, man, he's already networking.
Yeah. No kidding.
He's already whoring himself man, out.
Did you listen to Mike Likes It yesterday?
No.
Oh, you need to go back and listen to it.
I don't think I do. I got plenty of phone calls off air about it.
This was the biggest setup. The largest venue.
You think I would have liked it?
Oh,
yeah,
dude, the open, the food, the open setting with the water and everything.
There they had like in this one room, they had this old house. It's like it was like antebellum house kind of thing, right? And it was, and everything was built around it. You had to go back. You had to go back through the museum, Bobby. I don't know if you went back there. You go through the museum.
I didn't go through the museum.
Through the white curtains, and you enter. Bam! There's like this indoor tree house kind of thing.
Nice.
But there's a house that's built that was all originally there. They built everything around it so that they kind of just closed it in. It was really cool. Really
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah, I was once again, hubbing up Bobby's wife. She was out with us and our crew.
Yeah.
Making sure she had a good old time, and now she's just like, we have to come back to this restaurant. We have to come back. You have to include me in the reservation. Where are we going tomorrow? I said, Kristen, my wife is leaving. I'm checking out for a little bit. I can't do this. Yesterday, I mean, that was a Bobby, you're not off to a great start today. Yesterday, A++. We put in work yesterday.
Yeah.
We put in work. So I don't know what's to come. Whenever basically Rayos tells us we can go in, stay on standby.
Let's try to make it not between 6 and 8 tonight. Tennessee's playing Missouri.
Oh, dear God, and you got to watch that.
All right, if I told you it was at 7, are you going to the sports book? At Rayos, it's the only night we can get in.
Yeah, I'll go to Rayo's, but like I'll start the sports book because I gotta get my bets in.
You married to regular season college basketball Tennessee like that?
I watch every game. Yeah, I don't miss Tennessee basketball game.
Oh my gosh.
Every game.
Wow.
They could be playing. They could be playing. Give me a.
Who are they playing tonight?
Missouri. Top 15 matchup.
Okay.
Teams.
There you go. And Ruben's gonna go with you.
Yeah, he better be there.
Ruben.
Well, I want to know about him. He
was in a daze. Yeah,
this morning he was late.
You know what he did? He put his money where his mouth is. He took the Mavs to win the title.
He did.
Whoa. Yeah. We might have to throw him on the headset. He thinks the trade is better for the Mavs?
No, I don't know if he said that. But
he just put a $5 bet down at plus 2,000. So he could
$2,000?
Plus 2,000.
Right? It's 20-1. So again, what does it say you pay out?
You said 100 bucks.
105, yeah.
Okay. Put the money where the mouth is. Still, I mean,
that's half an hour for him.
So they Pepe, you okay over there? You any FOMO? Anything when you saw on social media last night made you jealous?
Yeah, I mean, all the drinking on a Tuesday night, you know, I'd thrive for that one day. One day I'll be there, guys.
8-7, so you're just too valuable not to be back there. That's why you need to look at it. All right. He was shocked. He was stunned. And you're probably going to become even more angry. Who's telling the truth? Luka Doncic spoke for the first time as a Laker. The Mavericks made another move. Mavs played. Lakers played. The Luka Doncic Laker press conference. And Anthony Davis speaks on the deal as well. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyrie gets the ball, and he throws it back to Exum. Exum drives it, and Embiid knocked it away, and the Sixers win the game. Dante Exum turned it over. The Sixers win, and Embiid with a defensive stop. Final score, 118-116.
Sixers radio with the call. Of course, Joel Embiid just decides to play all of a sudden. And the Sixers get a two-point win over the Mavericks. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from New Orleans. Brought to you by Stella, the Low-T Center, and Best Buy Windows and Siding. And not only did Embiid decide to randomly play, he had a triple-double. So 29, 11, and 10 with the team that Nico Harrison has decided to do more business with. Sixers win.
Yeah, getting the Caleb Martin trade for Quentin Grimes. Which, you know, on the surface, it's Caleb Martin. This is about 40% from three in the playoffs for his career. So that's good. What's that, Bobby?
In the playoffs only?
That's what it said. He goes up about
Stretch to sell Caleb Martin
3 to 4% in the 3-point percentage in the playoffs. I really can't judge anything that this team does right now. I have no idea where their headspace is.
Well, Kyrie shared his headspace about Luka after the loss.
Just really shocked, and you know, you just don't imagine that you're gonna get ready to go to sleep and then you find out news like that, you know. So still a grieving process right now. Miss my hermano, you know, we had a lot of time together, you know, Keith too, and Maxie, and you know, we just built some bonds that went beyond the basketball court. So if anybody can understand at home, you know, when someone or a few group of people, or you know, a few people leave in a trade, it's going to be difficult, and that's what we're dealing with right now. But you know, this is a business; it's way above my pay grade. And I just got to adjust and be ready to welcome in my new teammates with open arms, and kind of be ready to go back to Dallas too to speak in front of our fans. I know they're feeling it too. I'm feeling it too, guys. So yeah, it's just an adjustment period, and I don't want to downplay this either or disrespect our new guys. You know, they're going to help us win and going to help us build towards the championship.
Oh, my gosh.
Kyrie should be the GM. He handles the optics of the trade better. Mm. I feel for our fans. I know how they, like, he's saying everything Nico should have said the other day and didn't.
The grieving process.
Yeah.
We're in the grief. I mean, this sounds like a sports death.
It really does. That's why, like, you know, I don't know how this team is functioning, like what their, you know, like I said, where their headspace is right now. You just lost your, even though he wasn't playing at the moment, right? He wasn't even playing. There was still the view that he was coming back. Like, this is the guy that led the NBA in the playoffs in every category.
I needed to hear that the locker room had a resentment towards the way Luka was taking shortcuts or doing things. The last thing that Nico Harrison can have happen is for the locker room to sound like this.
Right.
And it's not a great first start that Kyrie Irving, the Robin of the team, the actual leader on the team, sounds like that. I needed to hear a little vocal support that, hey, man, like, you know, we're rolling our eyes at this kind of stuff. And they're not going to come out and say that. But Kyrie sounding like that tells me a lot about what they thought about Luka Doncic in that locker room. I'm asking some guys here that cover the Mavericks here at Radio Row. I was like, is he disliked? Did they roll their eyes? Is he a diva? And they're like, they love him. They loved him. They loved him in the locker room. Did the front office just totally misjudge that? Did they not care? Did they not care about what this would do to the locker room? Because right now, I'm hearing some whispers that they're a little caught off guard over the negative reaction. Are you stupid? Are you stupid, dumb, deaf, all of the above? I mean, I know that you're not from here.
It's negligent. If you didn't realize that the reaction to the fan base, from the fan base would be this bad, then you don't have the pulse of the fan base.
And you don't have a pulse. You might as well be laying in the ground dead like Nico suggested the other day.
Like, it really is. It blows the mind. How someone could make this trade and then not even expect a remote reaction anywhere close to this.
The fact that the teammates don't sound like they were in favor of this or anything else, it's starting to feel more and more to me, like, or I'm starting to ask more and more, like, is Nico this petty? Like, did Nico just not like Luka?
Dude, he traded Grimes yesterday. It was a coincidence, but it's like a sniper in a movie. I felt like I was watching Grimes warming up on the Philly court, and that was it. He's traded from Philly in Philly, and Nico's just probably sitting upstairs like getting some sick satisfaction out of watching Grimes sit there in the arena. Boom, there's the trade for Caleb. All right, let's get to the press conference. Why is your leg shaking this much?
Because I haven't taken Adderall yet.
Well, snort it off the table, please.
Okay.
877-881-1053, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. That he almost had a spill down the...
Bobby almost did a... he almost broke the escalator right in front of him.
Right in front of McLovin.
McLovin. He was walking up, and he gets me, he goes, yell out McLovin. I'm like, no, he's not that big of a deal.
I started falling.
And then all of a sudden, like, he starts going, like, falling backwards, like he's about to sit down. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, Bobby. And I see his left foot, which is against the escalator. Like, he was just kind of sitting there sideways. So it was, just imagine it was, like, parallel to the side of the step. He starts to fall back, and his left foot is still there. Like, his leg's about to snap. His knee is about to fall off. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, Robert, what the hell? And he catches himself.
And then he did talk to McLovin. He looked across at the other escalator and goes, I remember my first time on an escalator.
He's always got those good one-liners.
Thank you. Very dad joke.
All right, 877-881-1053. We need your response to Luka Doncic with his first Lakers press conference. Here's Luka's reaction, how and what he did when he found out about the trade.
And everybody was surprised, so you can imagine how surprised I was. I was almost asleep, so when I got a call, I had to check. It was April 1st. I didn't really believe it at first, and it was a bit shock. It was hard moments for me. It was home, so it was really hard moments for me, especially the first day. As I said, you know, I get to play in the greatest club in the world, and I'm excited for this new journey.
I watched the whole press conference. I took notes, and one of the things I noticed, this is even more negative PR for Nico, because Luka took the high road. He's coming across as classy. He's coming across as sad. Now, he always mumbled with his media answers. Like, that is not Luka Doncic, but this is Luka Doncic with every interview. But he appeared hurt. He appeared sad. And that does not come across like he was threatening the Dallas Mavericks with not signing a Supermax. Everything about yesterday and everything we've heard makes it sound like Luka was devastated. Chandler Parsons saying he actually cried. And that is going to make everyone listening and every Mavs fan that much angrier and love him even more. He's done nothing post-trade to give the slightest. He's winning the PR battle.
Oh, big time.
Big time. Like, to take that high road yesterday, he had to hold back laughter. He was asked. There's reports out there. I mean, they suggested you may not sign the Supermax. Yeah. He had to hold back his laughter over the notion that he wouldn't do it.
Lunacy.
He's destroying Nico PR-wise.
Yeah, the one victory that Nico gets out of that press conference yesterday is when you saw him waddle up on stage weighing, 300 pounds probably? I mean, just looked morbidly obese up there.
Dude, I said, okay, I almost had to Google, is gray a slimming color?
Yes.
He went with a gray sweater, and I said, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah,
I was expecting him to have a bulge, fatter. Maybe he just carries it well. The face didn't look like a Goodyear blimp with the drinking swollenness. He looked the same.
LeBron's got him that locked in 12 hours. He's already worked it off.
It's, you know, like anybody who has been bloated knows, you don't wear a sweater if you're bloated. Not a form-fitting one, right? Not one that's got the elastic on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
That creates a shelf if you've got a bloated belly. So you know good well, when that person rocks that sweater, they decide to put that sweater on, they're feeling good. They're feeling good that day.
Luka said he was almost asleep, had to check the phone, not April Fool's. It was a little awkward to watch Rob Pelinka thanking Nico so much in front of Luka. You know Luka wants to do really bad things to Nico Harrison. He took the high road. He said it was really hard at first. The last 48 hours felt like a month. He doesn't know why Nico made the decision. No comment on that. The Supermax stuff he laughed at. He says the conditioning now is a big motivating factor, hearing all that talk. He said, I know that that is not true. The Lakers have given in and said, yeah, your medical staff, you want them to train you? Yeah. They're now Lakers medical staff. So that fight that's been reported, the Tom Brady-esque Alex Guerrero battle over who trains who, the Lakers are like, do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And
who would have thought the Lakers would be the team that gave in to those demands? Like the Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees are like, no, you come to us, you do it our way.
Well, when you get Luka, that's the thing that hit me yesterday. This is Shaq Orlando. That's what this was. Rob Pelinka sat up there in that jacket. That went viral. What was that?
I don't know, man, but you can't lose a negotiation to a guy that has a jacket that is a double zip. It zips from the bottom and the top.
Did you see it, Bobby?
Yeah.
You can't lose that battle. You can't. I don't know what that was. You can't lose
that battle. Rob Pelinka was Jerry West and Luka was Shaq. The Orlando Magic are the Dallas Mavericks. They weren't going to offer Shaq. Like, they didn't treat him like a Supermax player. They're like, nah, you know, we run a local poll. Should we pay Shaquille or not? And you're not going to offer Shaquille O'Neal the maximum amount of money like the Dallas Mavericks? Jerry West is like, okay, yeah, we'll take him. And that's what I felt watching Rob Pelinka in that press conference yesterday saying, yeah, this is a gift. And you're damn right it is a gift that Nico Harrison wrapped up and put the bow on for you.
It's just, it's the more and more we get away from it, the more I'm like, it's going to settle in. Like, every day, I'm thinking every 10 to 15 minutes, I'll just go like, God, yeah. What did they do?
It still doesn't make
sense. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. There's no context where it makes sense.
They need him. Look, I'm saying this half joking. They need Luka Doncic to check into AA. That's the only way, besides winning championships, and Choppy has that topic later on, they need him. Tomorrow the news needs to come out that Luka Doncic is in rehab. That's the only way Nico Harrison can get out of this. I'm not hoping that happens. I'm just saying, from a PR standpoint, that's how extreme it has to get. And Mavs mm-hmm. fans still probably would not forgive him or think that's a legit reason. He's got to go to Betty Ford. He got to go to Betty Ford tomorrow.
That's a big clinic, right? Still,
whatever is out there, he needs to check in. And that is the only way that Nico can win back some PR points.
I mean, yeah, like, it's going to have to literally be – it's a long play. Like, you're not going to discover it this year. Like, you know, even if he checks in, you know, you've got to have – this thing is going to be decided over the next decade.
Yep.
Or as long as he's in the league. If he's out of the league by 2029, big-time win.
All right. Was Deion ever a possibility? Should we feel better about Brian Schottenheimer? And can we finally get rid of the tush push? Former NFL player, always a great guest, Solomon Wilcots, is going to sit down with us along with some college dirt on me with his partner in this interview. That's next on 105.3 The Fan. All right, joining us now here in New Orleans on Radio Row, former NFL player Solomon Wilcots, and I'll explain in a minute, but the number one most interesting guest of our entire week, Dr. Nelson Mead. We'll get to it in a second. Solomon, thanks for joining us.
Oh, man, great to be on with you guys. We were already having fun before we even started recording.
Should we
you.
Say why?
Of course. Whatever you want to do, it's your show.
He came over. He said, what city? I said, Cowboys. You're with the big time now. And he reminded us of our recent headlines.
Yes. As everyone is prone to do, right?
Jerry's happy about the Luka trade. That's all we can say.
Yeah, that's right.
Move the spotlight.
Right. That's right.
Change the attention.
I'll cover it up a little bit.
Or right, maybe not, knowing Jerry.
Exactly.
All news is good news.
We got Kansas City and Philly in the Super Bowl. Do you get the sense like people are just tired of Kansas City, though? Has any of that started to set in yet for them?
I don't know. I'm hearing some of that, but I don't buy it. I mean, to me, I think you have to appreciate when you're watching something that's great. Those of you who've been around the Cowboys, you remember there was a time when they were on that kind of run. And if you were a Cowboy fan, you were loving it. You were absolutely loving it. And to me, I think you got to be able to appreciate greatness. When it's happening right in front of you, don't get tired of it. When Michael Jordan ran off three in a row and said, I'm going to go play baseball, this is getting boring, right?
Yeah.
And then he came back and won three straight. And I loved every minute of it because I already know that when it's gone, it's going to be a hard time to try to find that kind of excellence again.
Do you care how a team wins? Like, do you look at whether they squeak by three or four points or they look good doing it, blowing them out? Because there's some people have a problem with the Chiefs.
Well, I lost in a Super Bowl. I was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. We were playing the 49ers. The score was like 6-6 at halftime. Yeah, the great 49er juggernaut only scored 6 points by halftime, only scored 20, and they scored in the final 40 seconds to beat us. right? John Taylor, Joe Montana, we all know it. They won. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you think I felt any bad? I felt miserable for a month. And I can tell you, I don't care if it was a blowout or by 1 point. It's the net-net is the same. So I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, the game, it was what margins, whatever. It's a win-lose thing. That's all it is. Nobody goes back and look at those Pittsburgh Steelers teams that won, what, 4 and 6 years, by the way, back-to-back twice. Nobody look at the final score. Nobody going back to see, was it a blowout? What was the score? They took home the trophy. So that's how I grade it, because you asked the question, that's how I grade it.
What do you say to the conspiracy theorists that the Chiefs are getting all the calls, Roger wants Kansas City in the Super Bowl? What do you say to all of them? Because San Fran was that team back then, the beast.
Look, man, you're talking to a former player, so that means I'm cut from a different cloth. Very competitive dudes, right? That's the world. I'm the youngest of four boys, and I have a dad. So I grew up in a home, man, where it was a lot of testosterone. So I didn't get to whine and cry because I had three older brothers. They just wouldn't hear it, right? You had to suck it up. So that's the world that I come from.
Yeah.
All that other stuff, man, that's just whining. It's crying. It's moaning. You're trying to find a reason for why you weren't good enough.
Speaking of whining, crying, moaning, Tush Push has been getting a lot of resistance. Yeah. The Packers president recently came out, said thinks it needs to be eliminated. It's not a football play. Where do you come down on what place that has in the game?
So this is just how I've always been, because I've been around, been in some of these meetings. I've been around some of the great custodians of the game, people who have helped institute rules. You know why those rules were put in. It had always been a rule that you could not push or assist a runner from behind. You can't pick him up and carry him forward.
He's
got to run on his own.
Thank you.
He's got to play on his own. I want to catch the ball for him, too. You want me to throw it for him, too? So that had always been the rules, guys, for over 100 years. But we've always said, and I'm a defensive guy, so you got to take this the way that it is, offenses don't innovate. They change the rules to get better. Defensive players and defensive coaches, they're the ones in the lab always, you know what, I'm going to blitz and I'm going to play zone behind it. You know what, I'm going to run a stunt. I'm going to twist and bring the end around, bring the end, come up underneath. Defensive coaches are, I'm telling you, they're always innovating. Offensive coaches are like, let's change the rule. They shouldn't be able to do that. They always are changing the rule. When we were playing in the AFC Championship game, we were playing the Bills. I remember Marv Levy calling New York that morning. You know what? You know what he tried to have outlawed just hours before kickoff? The no huddle. It's on record. Cincinnati Bengals were running, the first one running no huddle. He didn't. It was in the rule. You could do it. It's just that Coach Weiss did it first.
Yeah.
And so what did he try to do? Tried to litigate. Here is Marv Levy. Guess what the Bills were doing the very next year? Guess what offense they were running?
Yep.
No K-gun. Huddle, baby.
K-gun.
No huddle. So that's offensive coaches. They're going to whine. They're going to try to change the rules. It had never been in the rule book where you could assist or aid the runner. And then they changed the rule, which gave us the tush push. So when I say it should be out of the game, it really should. You shouldn't be able to. What if they just push and fail forward?
Yeah.
And instead of falling down, they just move all the way down the field. What if they just got in the huddle and covered up the real runner? You can't see the ball, and you're just covering it up, and you're moving. That's silly, guys.
I agree.
That's not football. Come on. It's not football.
We're talking with Solomon Wilcots here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so you are a Colorado alum. A lot of questions about, all right, Cowboys job opening is coming open. Seems like a natural fit for Deion Sanders. Are you surprised he didn't end up here in Dallas? Do you think he would fit at the NFL level?
You guys know that would happen. You guys knew. Well,
whose behalf was it not going to happen?
It wasn't going to happen for either one. Jerry wasn't going to make Prime the head coach, right? Because Jerry really wants to be the de facto coach. He needs a guy that's going to allow him to run his own press conference parallel, like after a game's over. The head coach is trying to give the one message to the fan base and to the people about here's what happened here. Here was our plan. Here's why we did. And Jerry's holding a press conference simultaneously at the same time.
Yep.
He's got this radio show where he's having his – so he's telling one narrative, the coach is telling the other narrative. Guys, I'm telling you, that makes it hard to run a football team. If you try being a leader of a group of men and think that you want them to follow your every word, but then if they can circumvent you and go to somebody else and say, your word is not final, this guy, that's what's happening. And people, you guys, the Cowboys fans, think that people pick on you because you're somebody special. You're special, all right. You have a dysfunctional operation, and you got rid of one of the greatest coaches ever in Jimmy Johnson, right? Barry Switzer allowed it. You won a few and haven't won since with that model. Might want to tweak it a little bit. That's all I would say. Look, I'm a big fan of Jerry Jones because I think he's a great businessman. I think he's good for our league. He really does. He brings more eyeballs to our league. But he makes it hard for the Cowboys to win. Trust me when I tell you that.
Solomon, do you think it's more player enabling then or undermining the coach?
Both. It can be both.
Can be.
When you enable a player, you are undermining the coach.
What do you know
about? See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Were you stunned? How stunned were you, and what do you know about Brian Schottenheimer?
I know his dad really well. I mean, I knew Marty, worked with Marty. I have a lot of respect for Brian Schottenheimer. But listen, let me just ask you, man. You bring your girlfriend home to meet your parents, and you're just like, Mom, she's got a lot of baggage. She comes with a big wrist, but I'm getting married. Come on, man. What are your parents? That's what he said. That's what he said about the coach.
In the presser.
That he hired. Yeah, yeah. That's the press conference. That was his opening introduction. Here is my guy. Come on, man.
Big risk.
Here's what I want you guys to just contemplate this. Because here's my deepest concern for the Cowboys over the next few years. It's kind of like what happened with Al Davis and the Raiders. As we get up in age in life, we stop counting the years, we count by the months. We don't say that we have a five-year plan. We have a one-year plan, right? We're not going to sort of build over time because we don't have a lot of time. We need to win now. When you get to that mindset, now you get kind of desperate. And when you get that desperate, you start making moves that aren't cohesive, that are disjointed. You know, okay, why didn't you sign CeeDee Lamb when you knew you had to sign him?
Right.
Why did you wait for the last minute to sign Dak? Oh, now you'd probably rather get somebody else. You want Shadur instead of Dak? A lot of these things are becoming so disjointed, and it's just not making good sense. And so you just have to wonder if a lot of the moves he's making are going to become desperate moves to win now, and it doesn't seem to be a plan, a long-term plan, that tells you where this team is going over a period of time.
What round pick do you think Shadur is?
Oh, he'll go in the first round.
Is he you a big believer?
I'm a believer, but long as there's time to develop, right? There's some still areas of growth. I want to see him get rid of the ball much faster, in rhythm. I think he can do all of those things. You know, I'll tell you who does think he can is Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tom Brady does. Well, you know, he's on the TB12 deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just, I mean, you think he endorsed him and paid him all that money just because he think he couldn't play?
Right.
You don't think he's been working with him and all those things? So, yeah, I think Shadur can, I think he's developing. I think he's growing. We saw him grow. Look, when he came from the HBCU school at Jackson State, there's many people didn't even think he can play at the real Division I, you know, Power 5 level.
Yeah.
And he blew it away. So, yeah, he'll be okay.
All right, Solomon, with all due respect, we love having you every year. You're the second reason why you're standing here right now.
I knew that. I brought a superstar with me.
Were you ever in a fraternity?
Absolutely. Okay. Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. You probably don't know anything about that, but it's okay.
Dr. Nelson Mead is with you. He is my little brother in our college fraternity.
Ooh,
at American University.
I like
so
it.
So I was going to see how much. Diehard sports fan.
I like it.
LSU. Who are they, Nels?
LSU Tigers.
The Tigers. LSU Tigers. And here he is, Big Bad Doctor here. So I was going to give you the opportunity to share some dirt or whatever you wanted, but what are you here for, Nels? What are you doing?
So I'm here because we're talking about something called Mason Procedure. It's from the company Vericel. And what it does, we got a lot of guys walking around here in their 60s, played ball, have bad knees, and they're in pain. And one of the reasons they got there is because a long time ago in their playing days, they got a cartilage defect, meaning they got a pothole in their cartilage. And when that doesn't go treated, what will often happen is that that pothole turns into a New Orleans street. And granted, I love this city, lived here for 15 years. We all know what a New Orleans street looks like. So that pothole becomes a bunch of cracks in the asphalt and a lot more potholes. So what we've done, or what Macy has done with the Macy procedure, what Varicel has done with the Macy procedure, is basically gone, and you identify those with knee pain that are young, active, weekend warriors, or former high-end athletes, or current athletes, and basically you take a biopsy of their cartilage, you grow it in a lab, and then you come back and you replant that cartilage so that it grows and fills that defect. So they got good maturing cartilage, which is something that we've had a difficult time doing and getting good results. And so then it was like, well, how do we further those, how do we improve those outcomes even more, which is where Macy Arthro came into play for me personally. And that's, we can now do it through a small buttonhole. So what used to have to be an incision about 9 inches long, we can now do through a small buttonhole. And what we think is that would mean that, in theory, patients have less swelling afterwards. Hopefully the recovery is not as difficult for them. And so it makes that, a lot of times, what is a hard sell for that second surgery, it makes it a lot less daunting, which is a lot less of a psychological component. To the
so patient. Did you help develop this?
No, I did not, but I was actually, so I was one of the first.
What I'm trying to ask is, are you rich? Are you rich? Are you actually outshining? Are you richer than I am?
I'll tell you what. When patients ask me, they go, why can't you create a way to event cartilage? And I go, if I did, we'd have all new friends.
Yes. That's right.
I love that.
I've got just really one question about your time, Sean. What does the name, like if I say this name, what does it mean to you? Evan Trumpatore.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
Take it that way back.
First off, that's not even the name that they know me by in college.
I have a hard time not saying Shan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
So does everybody else in media.
I don't know if that's from his parents or what, but yeah. But I tell myself to say Sean. But what he doesn't tell you is this is our 20-year anniversary from the last time we were on the radio together. 20 years ago, I was on
Cambridge, Maryland.
I was your college football expert 20 years ago. And then Sean gets a little too big for his britches.
Yeah.
Becomes a big boy.
I think we're running out of time
well,
here.
Look where it came back around.
There
we
go.
I'll take a little bit of credit for Sean's career, though. That have y'all seen his initial highlight reel?
No. I have not.
So what he did was at last senior college, he goes around Eastern Shore, Maryland, filming stuff and doing little segments, right? So he gets a high school female lacrosse game.
Yeah,
it was a doozer. I mean, it was crazy. And so Sean's sitting there and he goes, his tagline in it is, man, she must be from the bayou because her legs just got bayou. I was like, what?
Louisiana.
Oh, that's what it was.
You dummy. You messed it up.
She must be from Louisiana because she just got bayou. I was like, oh, man.
That was my sports center.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I remember telling you that.
I like it.
How was he with the ladies?
It was like 50.
I was like, you would have thought it had not been for me.
How was he with the ladies in college?
I mean, you know, they would talk to him.
He's having dinner with my wife tonight, so that's a very good answer.
I know the right. She's listening. She'll listen to this.
That's a boy. That's my boy right there. But no, diehard sports obsessed.
I love that.
You got a good one, Solomon.
Hey, go to Macy.com if your listeners want to find out more about this procedure, because it is an incredible game changer, to be honest with you. Macy.com, MACI.com. Find out more about the procedure and find a doctor in your area.
All right, what are the hot spots in New Orleans we need to go to?
Oh, eating-wise, well, I'm trying to get you to go to Clancy's tonight.
Okay.
I mean,
Tom
Clancy's? You don't understand.
Go to Drago's also, man.
Drago's?
Oh.
Uh-oh, he made a face.
It's good. It's good.
Well, if you like char-grilled oysters, okay. It's a
what's
good
we
place
last
to
night?
Go.
I got last
Oyster
night.
House?
Did you go to Drago's?
No, it's to Acme.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think Drago's is good for like a happy hour. Yeah.
Fantastic. Big fan of Yvonne Drago.
Tell him what you really think of the city. What do you want to say about it?
New Orleans?
City. So I left here about 2 years ago. But
Where do you live?
Louisiana is my home.
Okay. Where do you live now?
I practice in Panama City, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Nels, this...
What do you got bad to say about...
Well, what you
got
to say about...
Tell Chop.
Vermin.
The what?
It's just vermin.
What did you say it was?
It's Jacksonville with Old Bay.
Okay.
It's how do y'all survive the summer?
You need to get some culture in you,
dude. It's, I know, right? It's musty
how
up in
y'all
here.
Survive the
like,
summer.
We dress incorrectly. It's already humid.
God,
like,
you know what?
Flying
you know
what? In the swamp. There's like two houses.
Man,
in
now
swamp?
I know why Lewis and Clark stopped here and kept going.
Solomon's talking about living with three gods. He was not talking about y'all.
Get out of here.
Y'all are complaining like no other.
Solomon Wilcox. Dr. Nelson Mead on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
Is Kevin Durant about to become a Maverick? And Anthony Davis with his first comments in DFW next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.